week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ethiopian athletes excelled during Monday evening's track finals at the 13th African Games in Ghana. In the women's 5,000 meters final, it was a 1-2-3 sweep of the medals for Ethiopia. Medina Aissa won the gold in a time of 15 minutes and 4.32 seconds. Bertukan Mola won the silver medal, and Melknot Wudu won the bronze. Ethiopia also won gold in the men's 3,000 meters steeplechase final. Samuel Firewu had a winning time of 8 minutes and 24.30 seconds. And the Kenyans Amos Serum and Simon Koech won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. In the men's discus final, South Africa's Victor Hogan won the gold medal with a distance of 62 meters 56. Algeria's Oussema Kainoussi won the silver medal, and Namibia's Ryan William won the bronze medal. Meanwhile, Team Nigeria says it has set a target of 10 gold medals in athletics at the African Games. Samuel Onikeku is the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Onikeku talked about the performances of Nigerian athletes on day one of the track and field events.
Well, performances have been going well, impressively. For the men, I believe we have the three of our men in the finals for the 100 meters, and we have two of our ladies in the finals for the 100 meters, and all our quarter-milers have qualified for the semifinals taking place tomorrow. So I would say we are about 85% or 90% okay for with the performances of the first day.
How many medals are up for grabs in the track and field at this game, and what are your expectations from Team Nigeria's track and field team?
Well, we are just concerned about winning the athletics event for these African Games. It has always been a tradition for us to win, and that is what we just want to continue. We are targeting 10 gold medals to give us a leverage against teams like Kenya and Ethiopia, South Africa. And then after the 10 gold medals, we'll now look at how we can consolidate. Maybe 12, 13 gold medals will not be bad.
Okay. What's the mood in the camp ahead of these African Games before we came here? Were there so much expectations from the athletes?
Well, the mood in camp has been very nice. We've given the athletes a good opportunity to come to represent the country. And this is one of the first time that we are coming with a large contingent of home base. We have about 36 home base athletes and just a complement of 14 foreign base athletes, which makes it to be 50. And this is one of the largest numbers that we've had. We are not just coming here to win medals, but we see that with the composition of our team, we are preparing for the next 4 years. We are giving some of these athletes opportunity to experience it at the biggest stage in Africa. So by next 4 years, when some of our top athletes will have gone into retirement, there will be no vacuum.
From what you've said so far about giving the younger ones opportunities to excel in the next 4 years, those athletes that are here now in that regard, how far have they gone?
They've gone well. You saw that Justina went to Commonwealth Youth last year, and we took her to Budapest, and she's in the finals of the 100 meters. She's just barely 19. And for the 400 meters for the women, you saw that Joseph Esther Ilo ran a personal best 51.87 in the 400 meters. Past years, it will just be everybody senior who don't want to take chances. But we've given these junior athletes opportunity to be able to showcase their talent, to have confidence, to be able to compete at the biggest stage. And they know that once they run impressive time, they are going to that competition, no matter the type of competition. So we have done that, and we know that so many of other younger athletes are looking at this opportunity that is available for them. And since our board came in 2021, we've concentrated on junior athletes a lot, taking 27 to Kenya during COVID, taking 43 to Zambia and then taking 27 to Cali. And we are planning that in Peru we'll go with nothing less than 30. And you'll see that about 80 of our athletes have gone to US to further their studies and to continue their athletics career. So we believe that the younger athletes are given the best opportunity to be able to showcase their talent, to educate and get a sense of living for themselves. I'm very confident, and I believe that with just some pep talk, Ishekiri is a very experienced athlete. I don't rule out consider too. You see that the race Ishekiri just ran now was minus 2.1. And we know that if he wins, okay, and he just gets his first 60 meters, he has a very powerful finishing. So we believe that tomorrow will smile, and we are very confident on that.
Tomorrow will smile. Keep smiling, Samuel. That's Samuel Onikeku, the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. And Samuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The sun is setting on the sunny side of sports. I'm retiring from The Voice of America after nearly 36 years here. My final show is March 27th. Tusang Jabavu Fushai, a.k.a. Fuji, sent me a nice email from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. Fuji writes, "Dear Sonny, it is with a very heavy heart that I received the very sad news and am forced to come to terms with your imminent and impending retirement." Fuji continues, "You began your career a long time ago, well before the advent of social media or the internet, when radio was still radio, and when it took a very special kind of personality to really connect with the audience. And a special connection indeed," writes Fuji, "you had with all who were privileged to tune into your show and hear your voice." Fuji adds, "I will always remember the joy, energy, and exuberance with which you presented each show. There is just no broadcaster who will ever be able to connect with their audience quite like you did. I want our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to realize I did not pay Fuji to write that." And Fuji adds, "My mom sends her love to you and your family. She's also a big fan. We used to tune into the show together when we still lived in Victoria Falls. Incidentally, the only other time it really hurt this much to see someone retire is when she retired from the Victoria Falls Hotel after two decades of dedication." Fuji gives props to his mom. Being a nursing sister, she single-handedly ran a small clinic catering to both staff and guests there. Fuji, thank you for your kind and beautiful words. It has been a privilege to get behind the Voice of America microphone and talk with you, Fuji, and other listeners. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out to Fuji and his mom in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. Thank you so much for writing, Fuji.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, soaring food and transportation costs have many Nigerians scrambling to make ends meet. Some multinational companies are now limiting their operations in the West African country. Nigeria's currency has plunged as inflation surges. How did things get so bad in Africa's largest economy? Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, You can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Superstar Lionel Messi will not play in Argentina's two friendlies in the USA this month because of a right hamstring injury. The Argentine Football Association made the announcement. Messi was injured last week while playing for Inter Miami in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. He then sat out Miami's 3-1 victory over DC United on Saturday at Audi Field, located just a short walk from our VOA headquarters right here in Washington. The 36-year-old Messi will miss Argentina's match against El Salvador on Friday in Philadelphia and a friendly against Costa Rica 4 days later in Los Angeles. Both games are warm-up matches for Argentina for the Copa America in June and July, which will also be held here in the United States. Joining me now for some messy reaction is my VOA colleague, McBill Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, McBill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
McBill, let's go back to that MLS match over the weekend on Saturday right here in D.C. And Messi, you know, I know a lot of fans were hoping he would play. And, you know, I'm thinking about what they must have, you know, when they opened their wallets to go to that match. You know, we're not talking about, you know, a few dollars, McBill. I think it was an expensive ticket. Your reaction to the Messi injury and maybe a reaction of a fan who bought a ticket thinking he would see Lionel Messi play.
Yeah, Sonny, no, absolutely. I would agree. I think, to me, the interesting thing about this seems to me like when you have a player of the magnitude of a Messi, and he goes out of his way to, you know, showcase this this light to the game, right?
That's a great way to put it.
Right,
light, right, I like that.
Right, right.
A shining light.
Absolutely. So when you have that type of player that does that, you want the fan base to be able to experience that. If you're somebody who's never been able to see Messi play in the past, and he comes to your backyard, and then you don't get to see him, it's somewhat of a, you know, disservice to you because, A, as you mentioned, the tickets alone are, you know, I'm sure astronomical. But then for you to pay for those tickets and then to not see him, I don't think that's right for the players.
Where do you see Messi now in the game, McBill? I mean, Argentina, the reigning World Cup champion, and yes, Messi, you know, he's not a young guy, 36. He's suffering more and more injuries. Do you see him being a valuable component to this next World Cup qualifying campaign?
That's very interesting that you mentioned that, Sonny. I don't know how I feel about both Messi and somebody like a Cristiano Ronaldo joining their respective countries for the next World Cup campaigns. If I were Messi, I would like to, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, go into the sunset, right? You know, because realistically,
the sun is setting.
Right? Literally, the sun. I think the sun already set on Argentina because, you know, when you looked at that World Cup in Doha, Qatar, everything had to go right for that team in order for them to win, right? Some may have said, you know, that, you know, the reffing, you know, was, I wouldn't say biased towards them, but they definitely got a lot of calls. They had like one PK in almost every knockout phase. Messi scored four penalties.
Right.
So you
know, there was controversy about that too.
Absolutely. You know, so when you have certain things going for you in that manner, and in all sports, you need a little bit of luck anyway. So we understand that. Now to go from that to potentially, you know, bringing that Argentina team back that really didn't look that strong as a unit. Mm. You know, if you were to play that game, France versus Argentina, 99 times, you know, I would think that France would have the nudge because it was just Mbappe playing by himself out there. The rest of the team really looked like they, you know, I don't know if they were starstruck by Messi himself or what happened there.
Right.
But, you know, similarly in that earlier game that they played in that tournament, Saudi Arabia was able to beat Argentina.
Opening match.
2-0. Now, if that game was played 100 times, Argentina gets that 99 times. So something along those lines, I think that if Argentina comes back in with Messi, this is a completely different team. I don't think that they will be highly favored as you know, as potentials to win the tournament.
Now, these two matches that he'll be missing upcoming, both friendlies, Muckbill, where do you see this sort of like push-pull between the Argentine Football Association and MLS? I mean, Messi did not play most of last year in MLS. I would imagine MLS wants to, you know, see him out there to bring fans to this league.
Sonny, he is the biggest investment that the MLS has made to date, right? So if you're just looking at it from the perspective of the investment aspect of it, it makes absolutely no sense as to why the MLS, also in particular his team, Inter Miami, would be okay with him playing in these friendlies, especially because he's already been injury ridden this season.
Right.
Right. So if it's somebody who's been completely healthy, it's different. You can let them go off on one friendly here and there, but then if you see something, maybe you give a little bit pushback, because I think clubs and countries are starting to have more of a better relationship than they have had in the past, because in the past club teams have almost always wanted to fight the countries and not allowing their players to go out there, only allowing them to go and play when it is something along the lines of the World Cup or, you know, or Euros or Copa America, something of that significance.
AFCON,
absolutely. AFCON is in the picture nowadays, but we're seeing that with Mo Salah being healthy, going down to Egypt, getting hurt, and now ever since AFCON has been finished, he's been in and out of injury. Mm. Now Liverpool's thinking to themselves, maybe we shouldn't have let him go.
Wow.
Right? So stuff like that is what you got to think about when it comes to the club aspect of it. So I'm definitely sure that Inter Miami is really thinking it through and even allowing him to move forward with the friendlies to come.
Muckbill, let's move to the English Premier League. Nottingham Forest had 4 points deducted for overspending, dropping the team into the EPL relegation zone with 9 matches remaining. Reports say Forest was found to have breached the league profitability and sustainability regulations, which typically allow clubs to lose a maximum of $133 million over a 3-year period or face sanctions. A lot of big words there, Muckbill. Profitability, sustainability. Tell our Sunnyside of Sports listeners about this decision.
To me, Sonny, if I'm just looking at the standings, right, Nottingham Forest right now is in the third last spot, meaning that they are in that relegation zone. The bottom three teams get relegated. So if I'm looking at that, I see Nottingham Forest in that 18th slot, Burnley in that 19th slot, and Sheffield United in that 20th slot. Now, you would ask yourself a question, Sonny. Why is it that the EPL is interested in, you know, coming down hard on a team like Nottingham Forest that is at the bottom of the league? You know, I'm always somebody that is all for equality and fairness across the board.
Mm.
We saw Everton get some points deducted earlier on in the season as well, and they are currently in the 16th spot. Now, if they hadn't lost those points, it's potential that they would have been a little bit higher up, because between the 16th team and the 14th team, there's only like 4 points between the two, you know, between the three teams in between. So if I'm looking at that, I would think that, you know, Everton definitely felt the wrath of the EPL this season as well. Now, the big question comes, Sonny. Manchester City.
Okay, here we go.
115 charges.
Wow.
Over 14 years.
Wow.
We still don't have a decision. Now, I'm not saying whether they're guilty or they're not guilty. The question is, how does the EPL then decide which teams to, you know, to basically punish? If you have 115 charges, you mean to tell me there aren't one or two charges that could stick? Or are you deciding to put all of them together? Now, the conversation that is being had is that in the last quarter of the year in 2024, around September, is when, you know, they'll be put in court to find out whatever the findings are going to be within Man City. But by that time, season's over, new season's coming. Will the deductions happen to the new season? Will they encompass the 14 years and all the wins that they've done? And for me, I'm looking at it from a perspective of just a fan of the EPL, right? If you look back 14 years and you're able to say that, you know, this team has are being charged for something across that long of a period, you put an asterisk on so many of their wins. Mm. This has been a high-quality team for those 14 years. How many of those league titles, cup titles, championships? They did a treble last year, Champions League. So what comes into question then? So to me, that's the biggest problem with letting this thing loom over for this long of a time.
What I'm kind of hearing, Mukbil, hypothetically, say Man City and not Nottingham Forest got the 4-point deduction. Would that just cause an uproar in your opinion?
It's possible, Sonny. If they lost 4 points right now, one could make the argument and say that they could be out of that contention for the top spot. They'd be at 59 points right now, which would be just a game above Aston Villa, but that would give the cushion of a 5-point lead for both Liverpool and Arsenal. With about 10 games left in the Prem, you know, with that big of a gap, if it's anything more than 2 games, it's really, really tough, especially because the top 3 teams have been playing so well. Still possible that they could still make the difference up, because anything's still possible within that range, but it would be that much more difficult. So I think it's best for the EPL to try to clear the name of Man City. But if they don't clear the name of Man City and they just keep this as this dark cloud looming over Manchester City, it doesn't help the EPL nor the fan base, because they don't really have that closure to feel as though they are deserving of these wins that they've had in these last couple of years.
Mukbil, let's look at this very tight race at the top of the Premier League. Your beloved Gunners in first place based on goal difference, with 64 points, Liverpool also with 64 points, Man City, the defending champions, with 63, and there we have it. Now, based on that goal difference, do you still see that being a key, Mukbil? I remember you saying last week how important that is, that Arsenal has kind of a cushion when it comes to goal difference.
Absolutely, Sonny. In the past years, you've seen teams lose out on title races because of a goal differential. It could be a tie in points, but the goal differential is also important. You know, having, like I said, about 10 games left in the season, to be up 6 goals on Liverpool and then an additional 11 goals.
Or 7 goals.
Seven goals
on Liverpool.
7 goals on Liverpool and 11 goals on Man City is a very comfortable zone, but goal difference means absolutely nothing if you don't have the top points. So it's a combination of the both, but you'd rather be the team that has the highest goal differential to be able to, you know, give you that extra push towards the end. But, Sonny, we got to talk about the biggest game coming up. Sunday, March 31st.
I think I know what this one is. I think the Gunners are involved.
Man City versus Arsenal. Arsenal plays Man City at home. Man City will be at the Etihad Arena.
Wow.
At the Etihad Stadium, I should say. And it is going to be for all the marbles, man.
Wow, you know, what a matchup.
It's going to be heavy. Liverpool has a game that same day. Earlier on in that day, they will be playing Brighton. So it's still must win for Liverpool every single game. They got that. They were unable to get the victory against Man City. They drew out against Man City, and because of that draw, it leaves them in the spot that they are in currently, in second. But you know, there's still a lot of game to be played, Sonny, a lot of games to be played.
Now, in terms of Man City and Arsenal, Muckbill, how would you evaluate teams in terms of their fitness? Are they both pretty healthy right now?
Arsenal have a lot of their players coming back that were injured. So you have a lot of guys like Tomiyasu coming back. Thomas Partey is back. Gabriel Jesus is back. Jurrien Timber, who got an ACL tear in pregame, is back. But I don't know if he's going to be fully – I don't know if, you know, Arteta is going to – quote unquote, activate him for the rest of the season. He's a young man, so maybe you just let him rest it out so he has a better start to the season next year instead of trying to rush him back. You got Zinchenko's coming back as well. So seems like Arsenal's players are pretty much back healthy and they're ready to come back. Man City have been relatively healthy, but a huge portion of their team, a majority of their starters, are going to be away playing these friendlies, playing these international friendlies. Funny enough, Man City was the only top team that was not affected by AFCON or the Asian Cup.
Okay.
And because of that, the top teams like the Arsenal and Liverpool had major injuries coming back from those tournaments, right? But now when you look at Man City, they didn't have that problem with AFCON or with the Asia Cup. But now for their international friendlies, a huge portion of their team is going out. So Pep was quoted as saying, we'll see. He said, I'm not going to watch the international games. I'll be resting, and I will see on Thursday who survived and who didn't. Those are his words.
Well, Muckbill, let's take a look at the EPL goal-scoring charts. Erling Haaland still at the top with 18 goals. Right behind him is a player I don't think we've talked about much on the Sunny Side of Sports, Ollie Watkins for Aston Villa with 16 goals. Any thoughts on Watkins?
Watkins is a baller, Sonny. I know Watkins for a while, you know, has been wanting to make a move to a bigger club. But the thing I like about him is that him and his team have worked their way up to make Aston Villa a big team this year, you know. So Villa has always had a rich history. They've been a team that's, you know, been very prideful. They've had a, you know, plethora of talented players come through that organization, and they have a great fan base. So for them to be able to, you know, be in that fourth slot right now, and really looking like, you know, if everything stays as is, they should be able to finish up top four. That'd be a great win for this team. So shout out to Ollie Watkins. I know, like I said earlier, he's been linked to potentially moving to or wanting to make a move to Arsenal a little while ago. Who's to say that he doesn't, you know, make that jump after a season like this season? He's showing that, you know, he has that quality to be able to finish. So if he's willing to come over, Ollie, come on down.
Ollie, you listen. Ollie. How's that saying go? Right. Ollie.
Oxenfree?
There you go. Ollie, Oxenfree. That's how it goes. Finally, Muckbill, we've got maybe just about 45 seconds to go here. Some of the top African teams, in addition to Argentina, getting ready for international friendlies. Do you see them, you know, are they kind of taking it cool right now after AFCON, you know, sort of getting back into the flow,
yeah,
so to speak?
Yeah, I think they are. I think a lot of their top players might not show for these earlier friendlies because of, like, the wear and tear on the body. Unfortunately, the friendlies are coming at a very, very difficult time.
Right.
And some of these
right.
players, man, these players, they're only human, man. There's only so much football they can play, bro. So for me, I think, you know, they take it easy a little bit. Let some of the younger guns maybe, you know, start getting their flow and the chemistry within their within that team. But that's basically what it's going to be. AFCON moving over into the international friendlies, and that's it, Sonny.
Muckbill Yabro talking international football, talking Premier League, talking Lionel Messi. Thanks, Muckbill.
Thanks.
And that wraps up the March 19th edition of the show. Thanks to producer and VOA Sports reporter Muckbill Yabro. Thanks also to engineer Keela Williams. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.